We all have enemies, whether we wish it or not. Sometimes our enemies are those of our own making, people whom we decide not to like, or decide that we would not like to work with, or whom, for various reasons, we decide to not want good things to happen for them. Usually, however, our enemies are those who decide not to like us, those to whom we are philosophically opposed, and therefore who vex us, or those who are, for lack of a better word, temporary enemies. A prime example of that would be people with whom we are frustrated when dealing with them in traffic or in crowded areas. Last year, my reflection for this date was on St. Maria Goretti, and that reflection, when I listened to it again last week, seems to still hold in my thoughts on how to reflect on her story, if you wish to listen to it. However, if you wish to reflect upon the power of forgiveness that Jesus has in today's gospel, then perhaps with the intercession of St. Maria Goretti, we can think about her example of forgiveness, of her wanting the best for the man who killed her, who assaulted her, who terrorized her, who scared her, and who caused her family great pain and grief, as well as shame to his family, and fear and shame and anger in their small community. Think of the anger her family had, their fear, and the anger and shame of the assailant's family, and how that hurt their community. One man's actions caused hurt to so many people, and that was probably manifested in various ways over time. In today's gospel from the evangelist Matthew, we hear Jesus say, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts?" Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher and go home." He rose and went home. Certainly, there was manifestation of sin in Maria Goretti's assault and murder, and in the aftermath. Yet, this young girl had faith in Christ Jesus and prayed and interceded for sins to be forgiven. One of the paradoxes we face as people of faith in the light of the resurrection is that Jesus did not cure everyone in Palestine who was sick or dealing with a disability or medical condition. He didn't chase out every single demon in the Roman Empire. He didn't change the culture of humanity at that time of his ministry in Galilee and Judea. The reason for this is, of course, that as part of God's plan, it happens more gradually throughout the world, and indeed throughout the whole universe, so that generations to come will still be on the path to the kingdom of God. God wants us to be on that journey together in God's time. People are impatient. We want it now, and we want it on our terms, whatever it is. But God, who knows what is best for us, and God, who loves us immensely and does not want us to suffer, does not want us to be in pain, does not want us to be sorrowful, but grieves with us, feels our pain, and suffers with us. Jesus certainly knew what it was like to be hungry, knew what it was like to be thirsty, knew what it was like to be tired and frustrated, and maybe even, if we could use this word with Jesus, angry with those around him who were getting it wrong, including some of his dearest friends. Jesus, being human, experienced all those things authentically. Jesus, being God, experiences all those things through his human side and brings them to the divine nature, to the Holy Trinity. So when we reflect upon this gospel, we are led to wonder, did Jesus heal this man because he had sympathy for him, because he had compassion for him, or was it because he wanted to prove the point that God has the power to forgive sins? Maybe the answer is both. We hear in the gospel how Jesus is moved with pity and compassion many times, and that is authentic. We feel that compassion ourselves, even listening to these stories. That is the divine in us, what God has given us as a gift, the ability to feel compassion for others, even those whom we do not know, even those whom we do not share a time in history. That is why the arts are such a key part of our human experience, whether in performances, readings, stories that we see and hear depicted in plays, movies, television, that we hear about or read, whether they are real or based in reality, because nothing in fiction does not have some base in reality from the human experience. When we hear of the story of Maria Goretti, we wonder, with a bit of frustration and with a sense of injustice, why God would allow this young girl to suffer the pain and the fear of an assault and brutal murder. Why would she be alive long enough and in pain in the journey to the hospital where they tried to save her life? Why did God allow the anguish that her assault and murder caused to her family and to the family of her assailant and to the small community in which they lived? The truth of the matter is, God loves us so much that God intervenes both physically and spiritually in the world in which things such as hurricanes, riots, floods, murders, assaults, and illnesses happen. All of these things happen because we are in and of the world. We could not live on this planet if we did not have a planet with liquid water in such abundance in the Goldilocks zone from our sun, a single star versus the other half of the solar systems that we observe that have two or more stars around which planets orbit. We could not exist on a planet that did not have an active magnetic field caused by the liquid magma underneath the surface of our Earth, which protects us from the brunt of solar and cosmic radiation, which would otherwise sterilize all living things on this planet. It took billions of years of evolution for humans to come about on this planet. And all that time, God was watching and waiting for us, looking forward to being with us, to sitting down with us at table, to talking with us, laughing with us, grieving with us, giving us hope. God is fundamentally a God of love, a God so loving that there are three persons in one God to manifest love to all creation. And love is patient. God did not want Maria Goretti to have an enemy in her assailant. God does not want us to have enemies, whether those whom we consider our enemies, those whom we do decide not to like, or people whom we oppress or cause pain to. God does not want us to suffer pain or injury. All these things happen just as much as hurricanes and tornadoes and floods do, with one exception. We can break the cycle of violence. We can break the cycle of injury and death and fear and shame that humans cause each other. We may not be able to present ourselves suffering or being in fear or receiving injury or dying, but we can refuse to let injury or death or assault or fear or shame take over our lives. It doesn't mean that we will not suffer in that time, but we can choose to live with the love of Christ like Maria Goretti, despite our fear, despite our injuries, despite our dying, to ask forgiveness even for those who are our enemies. How did a young girl so embody Christ as to be an example to us? Remember what Jesus says in today's gospel. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? The miracles that we experience only come at God's choice and in God's time, and we have to be willing to accept that. I do not doubt that Maria Goretti's family, and probably her assailant's family, wished that she survived the assault. They wished that there was a miraculous healing that restored her whole and well to her community and especially to her family. That wish was not granted despite those prayers, and there was much suffering, sorrow, pain, regret, and even anger. And healing, when and to whom it came, took time. God's plan was never, and is not, for Maria Goretti or anyone else to suffer assault and death. But God's plan in Maria's assault and death was to respond to her asking for forgiveness for her assailant. Let us remember the words of St. Ignatius, so artfully put down in song by the St. Louis Jesuits. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. You have given all to me, so I return it. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. I do not know whether Maria Goretti was aware of these words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, but she certainly was aware of the sentiment and the truth. She embodied that prayer for us in her very dying. In her extreme anguish and pain, she surrendered all to God. She must have asked for God's grace and God's love for herself, and even for her assailant and for her family, for his family, for their community. And in that, she is a great example to us, not in being a victim, but in being a model of Christ, despite being a victim. So when we make enemies of people and wish them ill, when we encounter them in politics or at work, even in the home, sometimes as well in the parking lots, shopping malls, on the roads of our city and our country, we should remember that prayer. We should remember that song if it helps us to remember that prayer. And to remind ourselves that God does not want evil to be done to our enemies any more than God wants evil to be done to us. And we should act accordingly. We should pray for our enemies. It doesn't mean that they are right to do evil, but it means that it is not right for us to want evil for them. And when someone has done us wrong, forgiveness does not erase the fact that it was wrong to do that evil to us, but it is a way of asking God to say, "Please, Lord, take away the effects of this evil on me so that I do not make them an enemy, that I do not make a person who has decided to be an enemy to me my enemy as well." Forgiveness is not easy. It is not immediate. And it requires us to go beyond what we are able to do as mere humans. But with God's grace and God's love, we can forgive. We can stop the cycle of violence. Our world is tough enough with the threat of climate change causing droughts and disasters, of hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods, for us to also add violence of riots, murders, robberies, assaults, and wars. Our reacting to violence with revenge is never the answer God wants from us. God may not stop us from acting in revenge. God may not stop us from acting with violence in the first place. But God is always ready to respond to our asking for God's love and God's grace, whether we are the victim of violence or whether we are the perpetrator of violence. Because God has the power to forgive sins, as Jesus said in today's gospel, and as St. Maria Goretti showed in her modeling Christ for us.